Okay, we're continuing in our series on Bress, and which is entitled, of course, Signatory of the Mother of All Living, Nourishing Spiritually, Ruling Coetally. And this section is adapted, I've adapted from various studies in humanities and our spiritual understanding, of course, introduced in how women's emotions significantly influence the functioning of marriage. So at this juncture, it's imperative to understand how women in Babylon frequently seek emotional validation and how wives consistently engage their husbands, so that we can observe the progressive reversal of the Shulamite methodology. Of course, and always, always, it's indicative of mankind full of men and their 40,000 plus churches represented as women. It is just that women exhibit a far more dynamic example of emotionally, so to speak. This should not be construed as a denigration of women. Rather, it exemplifies the contrary. When expressed rightly, it captivates men. Devoid of all carnal complexities and used positively in marriage, it is a God-designed, fantastically connective means that Solomon's Shulamite bride uses most potently, just as Christ does for us today. Of course, always swelling up, as seen earlier in Strong's, as the meaning denoting to breasts' emotional response. Righteously for her breasts, her heart's devotion to her husband. This study is ongoing, with particular emphasis on the intense emotional sensitivity both men and women exhibit to physical touch. The reaction varies depending on the individuals performing the touch, especially if they are of the opposite sex. Such interactions immediately activate our mental and sensory responses, prompting us to accept, remain neutral, or dismiss the experience. Hence, in this study, we are exploring how we are emotionally touched. God designed women to be highly sensitive to emotional stimuli, particularly through the mind and particularly her body. To men and husbands, her over-responsiveness is often beguiling and assuredly not derisively, often comically, unless, of course, they are frequently contrived theatrics to which he contemptuously sees a mile off. If he is courting, he may have dodged the proverbial bullet. If he is, by the Ecclesiastes 7:26 account, ensnared with a band on his finger, as most husbands are by all sorts of like feminine magnetisms, he should step up to the plate in all propriety of what he has been given of God and gently lead. When a sudden perception of danger is experienced, women are the first to instantly and dramatically sound the alarm. To a husband's involuntary, likewise instant near heart attack, the situation he, too, has instantly recognized as not dangerous, but just may be by the sound of her, according to personally and grading of agitation, they all are about to die. And often, like Eve, following her humiliation of being deceived, they, of course signified by the body of Christ, feel a little exasperated, yet again to be stricken with that inescapable female response. Subsequently, and since flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom, we are all destined to die, just as the world increasingly and hysterically lurches from one catastrophe to the next. However, men and especially husbands can use her inherent, often naturally seductive emotional responses as a wonderful means to connect, rather than respond rudely to her adrenaline-fueled fight or flight when she vocalizes her inessential near-death experience. After all, God uses our perceived catastrophes to his advantage, his touch, powerfully connecting with us. Proverbs 107, verse 23. They that go down to the ships, sea in ships, that do business in great waters. That verse is a direct representation of the previously described power of women, highlighted by ships, figureheads, and sculptures adorning lintels of courts of law, leading emasculated men through history, as we were, and still are, to escape being a harlot of the great whore in Revelations. Psalms 103:24-32. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep of our hearts and souls. For he commandeth, raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. The soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken man, like a drunken man, and they are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet, and he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the one and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. And this is entitled The Reason Behind Women's Creation of Drama. It is entirely understandable that most women, including the expectant Eve, regard the pejorative notion of creating drama with contempt. This section is certainly not intended to criticize women. Fact is, since she, under Christ, is the central theme to the Bible for becoming Christ-like, he has made her a particularly challenging young woman from whom we, as her, look back on our machinations to see our future change. Hence, our carnal marriages are critical for our understanding of how we treat Christ. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. We all, and particularly husbands and wives, have observed this phenomenon previously. That instance when a minor disagreement escalates into a larger issue, seemingly unwarranted. Perhaps she is upset about a neglected message or a tone you were unaware you employed. Husbands often wonder, why does this occur? Why does it seem as though she is provoking conflict unexpectedly? There's a deeper underlying factor rooted in the ways men and women possess or process emotions. As seen continually in scripture, women frequently seek emotional intensity and, according to their personality, to varying degrees, in a manner that leaves many men exasperated, even going their own way, as is increasingly happening today in today's dislocation of the sexes. This intensity is the catalyst for these moments of conflict. Involuntarily, her emotions are often not intended for problem resolution, but rather to evoke feelings of vitality, connection, and engagement within the relationship. A mostly foreign methodology to men's way of operating. The reality is that women's brains are inherently wired to pursue emotional stimulation, a righteous stimulation that is mostly lost upon exiting Eden. It is not a defect, but a biological trait. Historically, a woman's survival often depended on maintaining a man's attention and commitment by eliciting his emotions, be it through joy, passion, or even conflict. She ensured even ensnares his investment. This emotional engagement inherently conferred protection, resources, and security for herself and her offspring. Moving forward to the present day, that same neural wiring, continues to operate beneath the surface. While contemporary life may be safer, her nervous system continues to seek that adrenaline, that sense of excitement that signifies this matters. Paradoxically, conflict, as unusual as it may seem, can serve as one of the most dependable means to attain this sensation. Like old Israel and her Lord and husband, when circumstances are tranquil and predictable, one might feel satisfied, as if everything is in order, even bordering on dreariness that no young and vibrant wife wants in her husband. Exodus 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Exodus 32, 6 to 10. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and, behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Isaiah 5, 11 and 12. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp and the viol, the tabret, the pipe, and wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. However, for her, such calm may be perceived as stagnation. It is not that she seeks discord, rather, her psychological framework interprets emotional intensity as an indicator of connection. As you may have guessed, figures such as good old Queen Vashti, Aholah, and Aholibah, Jezebel, when life becomes excessively tranquil, the normality in Babylon in peace and safety, her mind begins to seek ways to stir things up. This is not necessarily due to dissatisfaction, but rather a need to experience emotion. Her feelings resemble a fire that needs fuel, and conflict provides a quick way to intensify this internal flame. And more positively for the bride, 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, for this reason I am reminding you to fan into flames the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. That's the ISV version. This is why a minor issue, such as leaving the dishes in the sink, can escalate into a substantial argument. It is not merely about the dishes, rather it often pertains to the family's tendency to delegate all household responsibilities to her. Occasionally, it fundamentally relates to the need to generate emotional intensity. Luke 10, 40 to 42. But Martha was worrying about all these things she had to do, and so she came to him and asked, Lord, do you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Don't you? Then tell her to help me. And the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you worry and fuss about a lot of things, but there's only one thing you need. Mary has chosen what is better, and it is not to be taken away from her. This situation does not imply that she is intentionally irrational or manipulative. It is generally uncommon for most women to deliberately seek to incite conflict. Instead, it may be comprehended as an unconscious predisposition or a craving for stimulation that her biological constitution drives her to pursue. Her nervous system demonstrates increased sensitivity to emotional nuances relative to that of men, and, like the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon, is configured for prolonged emotional engagement. Although an argument may be perceived as stressful and draining by some, she may consciously find it invigorating and, in certain circumstances, indispensable. It is not that she enjoys conflict, rather, the heightened intensity of such exchanges fosters a sense of connection with her husband that peaceful dialogues occasionally lack. This difference can be maddening. Men and husbands are wired to seek equilibrium, to solve problems and get back to calm. Men's brains kick into fix-it mode when conflict arises, aiming to shut it down as quickly as possible. However, for her, the objective is not always resolution, rather it is engagement. She's not seeking to win the argument, rather to experience an emotion with you. Consequently, your logical solutions, as possibly Jesus was to Martha, such as calmly explaining why her concern for many things and the dishes are not significant, may exacerbate her frustration. The parallel does when trying to explain Christ's doctrine to a Babylonian. While you endeavor to alleviate her stress, she seeks stimulation. It is comparable to engaging in various games under differing rules, and exasperates men's way of thinking, leading them to seek solace in their sense of logic, giving up and realizing the tension with the boys and releasing the tension with the boys at the pub. This explanation explains why intervals of tranquility within a relationship may occasionally be perceived as the calm before a storm. Exodus 23, 29 and 30. I won't drive them out before you in a single year, meaning the giants of our land, so that the land becomes not does not become desolate, and so the wild animals do not overrun you. I'll drive them out ahead of you little by little until you increase in numbers and possess the land. Prolonged periods of stability may eventually lead her to develop restlessness, accompanied by a perception of emptiness. It is important to note that such restlessness does not signify any inadequacy on the husband's part. Rather, it underscores the brain's inherent craving for emotional stimulation. Conflict might act as a catalyst for surpassing boredom, fostering an interval during which both parties are fully engaged and attentive to each other. Although this behavior may lack logical rationale, it remains fundamentally human. This is where the intricacies become apparent. Due to the heightened sensitivity of many women's brains to emotional stimuli, they may develop a near addiction to the adrenaline surge associated with conflict. The issue is not solely the altercation itself, rather, it pertains to the biochemical rewards that accompany such exchanges. During an argument, her brain releases stress hormones and neurotransmitters that induce a sense of emotional euphoria. Consequently, she may appear invigorated or even content following a heated discussion, while her spouse is often left drained and perplexed regarding the recent events. This is not an act of cruelty on her part, rather, it is her biological response to the stimulation she has been seeking. Importantly, this pattern influences not only her behavior, but also shapes how you engage with her. When she initiates a conflict, her husband may observe that his attention is completely redirected by her. His phone is set aside and work is temporarily halted, and suddenly she commands his full focus. From her perspective, conflict is considered an effective strategy. It engages him more deeply, making his presence felt in a way casual conversation may not. This is at the core of her intention. She does not engage in arguments to push him away. Rather, she strives to feel closer to him. While understanding this perspective does not necessarily reduce the frustration associated with such disputes, it provides husbands with a valuable perspective to perceive these conflicts differently. Her intentions are not to complicate his life, but to, like Solomon with his construct of his Shulamite bride, and for her to respond to a profound instinctual need for connection with him, all of which are indicative of Christ with his bride, beautifully happening today in his church. In the clay, in the meantime, the challenge is figuring out how to meet that need without getting caught in endless cycles of drama. So how do these conflicts unfold and what do they ultimately accomplish? Thus far, we've discussed why women may induce conflict, but it's not merely chaos for chaos's sake. Rather, it pertains to the emotional intensity they seek. So, comparable to old Israel, let's examine what transpires during these moments and why they can resemble a tug of war for a husband's attention. When she initiates an argument, it is not necessarily related to the specific issue at hand. Frequently, it serves to draw her husband into her world, ensuring his full engagement. In a world where you're juggling work, screens, and a multitude of distractions, conflict becomes her way to cut through the noise. It functions as a shortcut to your focus and is rooted in how women utilize emotional intensity to influence relationship dynamics. As the earlier cited lyrics to the song, It's a Man's World, suggest that a wife only does her husband good all her life and makes him a better man, you're scrolling through your phone, perhaps only half listening as she discusses her day. Pertinent to all wives, but in different scenarios, she strives to engage you, but your attention is diverted and you're not along without truly connecting. Then, unexpectedly, she mentions something minor, such as your failure to notice her new haircut or sparkling bathroom. Suddenly, the situation escalates into a heated discussion and your Phone is momentarily forgotten. You become fully engaged, giving her your undivided attention. From her perspective, this conflict was effective. It prompted you to focus on her in a manner that idle conversation could not. It is not that she intentionally planned this outcome, rather, her instincts suggest that drama elicits results. This situation extends beyond mere screen distraction. It touches on something more profound. Attention functions as a form of currency in relationships. By God's design and historically the bride's experience, women have, consciously or subconsciously, recognized that conflict serves as a potent instrument to attract and maintain a husband's attention. When she perceives neglect or marginalization, resorting to conflict becomes the ultimate means of re-engagement. This dynamic extends beyond the immediate moment. It serves as a means to assess the depths of a husband's care. If he responds with agitation, frustration, or anger, it shows his emotional investment and indicates that she is significant to him. Conversely, remaining composed and detached may be perceived as disengagement, suggesting that she is not of sufficient importance to evoke an emotional response. In reverse, emotion is manifestly Laodicean in how we have disengaged from Christ. This phenomenon originates from an instinctual origin. Historically, when survival depends on a man's dedication, a woman needed assurance of her husband's emotional commitment. Evidence of his investment was reflected in his response to her provocations. Agitation indicated continued involvement, whereas dismissiveness could be perceived as withdrawal, potentially signaling an intent to depart. In contemporary times, the same instinct persists despite the absence of life-threatening conditions. When a man's response to her provocation provides her with reassurance of his ongoing commitment. Consequently, following a significant disagreement, she may appear unexpectedly tranquil or even display affectionate behavior. Such reactions serve as emotional validation, alleviating her concerns and enabling her to relax. However, this situation can become complex. Such a pattern may develop into a form of control. When a wife observes that conflict garners your attention, it becomes a strategy to influence your behavior. You may find yourself modifying plans, abandoning tasks, or even changing your conduct to prevent further disagreements. Suddenly, she appears to have a remote control over your priorities. Isaiah 3 verse 12, "For as for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." This phenomenon often occurs unintentionally. Most women do not consciously scheme to manipulate, yet the effect is nonetheless powerful. Over time, she may realize that creating problems secures her desired outcomes, whether it concerns. This dynamic of control can alter the power equilibrium within the relationship. The individual who determines when conflicts commence, how they evolve, and when they conclude holds considerable influence over the emotional environment. If she initiates these conflicts, she effectively sets the tone, and the other responds accordingly. It is as if she is directing the emotional narrative, with the other person playing the role assigned. Each engagement in such conflicts reinforces this pattern and teaches that conflict is a dependable means of attracting attention or fulfilling needs. Another aspect to consider is validation. When a wife provokes you into an argument and you respond, it demonstrates that her influence over your emotions. This is significant for her as it indicates that she holds enough importance to elicit an emotional response from you. If you remain composed and rational, she may escalate the situation further, not out of desire to torment, but in search of an emotional acknowledgement that signifies you matter to me. Your calm, rational response, although seemingly reasonable, may be perceived by her as rejection, suggesting that she is not worth emotional engagement. Consequently, ignoring her or withdrawing from the confrontation often has the opposite effect and can be counterproductive. You believe you are de-escalating the situation. However, to her, it appears as though she is being abandoned. Her apprehension about being insignificant is activated, leading her to intensify her efforts to provoke a response. This creates a cyclical pattern whereby she instigates conflict to feel a sense of connection. Your withdrawal to maintain tranquility results in increased efforts on her part, further establishing a repetitive cycle that neither of you fully comprehends. The most chilling aspect is that this pattern can become addictive for her. The emotional elevation resulting from conflict, coupled with the adrenaline and intensity, triggers a biochemical reward in her brain. Meanwhile, you may feel depleted, whereas she might experience a sense of vitality or even satisfaction. It is not that she derives pleasure from causing you misery, rather her nervous system is fulfilling its craving. Over time, she may require increasingly significant conflicts to attain the same exhilaration. Similar to other forms of addiction, this phenomenon explains how minor disagreements can escalate into more significant issues. The core issue extends beyond the matter at hand. It involves the pursuit of the emotional high. However, this dynamic does not solely pertain to her. It also depends on your response. Every time you engage in the drama, you are reinforcing the cycle. However, there exists a method to break this cycle without isolating her or compromising your tranquility. The Christ-created scenario starts with understanding what she's really after. Connection, validation, intensity, and finding ways to meet those needs without letting conflict turn her into the one running the show. We have examined the reasons why women might provoke conflict and how such behavior can serve as a means of garnering attention and exerting control. As is often the case with human interactions, comprehending these dynamics is a complex and prolonged process. The sensation of being trapped in a cycle of drama can be profoundly exhausting. However, Christ, through Solomon's Shulamite bride, has good news. We can navigate this and brightly reconstruct the new man and be rid of destructive patterns. It's about looking behind at her needs while staying grounded in Christ's strength. It is the Shulamite who, we shall see, utterly switches these dynamics and at Christ's hand employs the connection she now knows her husband craves and builds her house spiritually to his pattern. It is imperative that we do not attempt to suppress her inherent need for emotional intensity, as it is embedded within her biological makeup. Similarly, men tend to prefer tranquility, and problem-solving skills are ingrained in their nature. Attempting to alter her or prevent her from seeking that spark is analogous to trying to extinguish a bushfire ignited on a windy day. Such an effort is futile and, to Christ, counterintuitive. Instead, the key is to redirect that need for intensity into something positive. Consider this perspective. She seeks a source of emotional illumination. Conflict represents one method to achieve this, yet it is not the sole avenue. You have the capacity to ignite such a spark through engaging in adventure, passion, or shared challenges that do not involve disputes over overlooked chores. For instance, in the clay, plan activities that excite both your hearts, such as an impromptu road trip, a hike with scenic vistas, or a highlighted debate on the greatest film of all time. These experiences provide her with the emotional uplift she desires without the accompanying tension of a quarrel. The objective is to cultivate opportunities for genuine and lively connection, such as Christ introduces us to, an infinitely superior reason to ditch the dirge of the old song, to be emotionally excited about his new song. By embracing these positive means, you address her craving for intensity in a constructive manner that the Shulamite bride jealously guards and exhibits in the Song of Solomon. On the surface, the goal is not to replace every argument with a grand gesture, but rather, as is the way of a man with a maid, to balance quiet moments with bursts of excitement that strum her chords and maintain her sense of connection. This is a significant point. As Christ consistently and emphatically demonstrated, do not reward conflict with emotional reactions. The contemplation is to become emotionally engaged during moments of agitation. When she is upset, one may instinctively mirror intensity, engage in argument, or seek an immediate solution. Nonetheless, each instance of such behavior reinforces the perception that controversy attracts your attention. Instead, it is advisable to maintain composure and demonstrate mindfulness without yielding to provocation, and watch her enjoy Christ's sweet-smelling savour. Proverbs 19, verse 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. James 1, 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. In the clay, it is essential to recognise her emotional state. Consider articulating a response such as, I understand that you are upset and I wish to comprehend your circumstances. However, it is important not to become overwhelmed by the emotional turmoil. This approach demonstrates engagement without perpetuating the cycle of conflict, although initially challenging, especially when she seeks a reaction. This method eventually teaches her that conflict is not the sole means of communication. Establishing Christ's boundaries is vital in this context, as the apostles and Christ consistently demonstrated. One can acknowledge her emotions without allowing disagreements to dominate the relationship. For example, if she escalates a minor issue, one might state, I am willing to discuss this matter. However, let us maintain respect and identify the root cause of your distress. Such a statement establishes a clear boundary. It signifies openness and connection while explicitly rejecting endless conflict. Additionally, as it does for the body of Christ, it encourages her to explore the underlying reasons for her behavior. In the flesh, the underlying issue is not the surface problem, but a need for reassurance or attention. By calmly addressing the root cause, one helps a wife feel heard without allowing the conflict to escalate. This is where self-awareness, juxtaposed with Christ's word, becomes relevant. We need Christ's strength to protect his sovereignty through our emotions to stay centered, no matter what's happening around us. Acts 27, 18 to 23. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. If you're constantly reacting to her provocations, you're handing over control of your emotional state. Practice staying grounded in Christ-centeredness, maybe through mindfulness and particularly by taking the moment to measuredly breathe as you quickly pray before responding. This doesn't mean shutting her out or being cold. It means showing up as a steady presence, a man of godly standing that outclasses all men. When one remains unaffected by her emotional fluctuations, it signifies to her that genuine connection need not arise from chaos, and yet, paradoxically, for the elect, it does. Genesis 1, verse 2 to 4. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Christ within presents a compelling approach that Solomon grasps in his creation of the Shulamite. However, outwardly, occasionally one encounters a challenging reality. Not every woman can move away from conflict as their primary means of feeling connected. It is given to only a few, the elect of God. As demonstrated by old Israel, some individuals are so habituated to drama, whether due to past experiences or their intrinsic motivational makeup, that tranquility is perceived as a form of punishment. In marriages where conflict is persistent and efforts to alter the pattern seem ineffective, it frequently occurs to husband or wife that marriage may not be sustainable. However, persistence in patience remains essential to possess the kingdom. Much like our spiritual health, our mental health is non-negotiable. Even if the marriage resembles a battleground where one is constantly avoiding emotional landmines, it is up to the individual, and like Hosea, to remember that we all are from a harlot background full of spiritual adulteries, whereby, and unless a marriage is deemed physically adulterously irretrievable, it is far more Christ elegant to not divorce. Luke 21:19. In your patience possess ye your souls. Matthew 19:6-9. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. I say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whomsoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. In Babylon, it is often agreed that if she or her husband can't meet you halfway, it might be a sign to walk away. For an elect, the goal isn't to change her biology or force her into your way of doing things. It's about finding a balance where you exhibit Christ in every aspect of your life, so both of you are more likely to thrive. While her need for emotional intensity cannot be eliminated, it is possible to influence how it manifests. Encourage open dialogues concerning what fosters her sense of connection and how this affects you as a husband's response to her. Ultimately, the very topic Solomon earnestly sought in his configuration of his Shulamite bride. Such dialogues may involve profound conversations, shared objectives, or moments of passion, but understanding her emotional factors, which, as in Babylon, likewise drove you, you can propose alternative approaches to conflict that fulfill the needs of both parties. This process is akin to redirecting a river. It does not cease the flow, but guides it towards less destructive channels. Ultimately, this dynamic uncovers a deeper truth about love and relationships. Men and women often communicate in different emotional languages. Her need for intensity is not inherently a flaw, just as your need for sexual intimacy hopefully is less and less perceived as a weakness by her. Typified by Solomon before composing Christ's Song of Songs, the challenge lies in translating these needs into a manner that enhances your bond rather than undermines it. Approaching her conflicts with empathy and strategic understanding rather than frustration or avoidance facilitates the development of a resilient rather than reactive relationship. These patterns are deliberately indicative of mankind, particularly of us, the church in the wilderness, in how we treated our Lord and Saviour. In Babylon, it is a dreadfully frustrating saga. We all were navigating this dance of emotions, trying to connect in ways that make sense to us now and for the body of Christ. This dynamic has been like flipping on a light switch. Let there be light. Designed by Christ in the Song of Solomon, it solves everything a wife ever craved in a husband by utterly reversing our Eve-like centrality, focusing unswervingly on Christ. And of course, it's not about denigrating women's emotions, it's about using them. And the way Christ does, or Solomon does, directed Christ to portray in the Song of Solomon how beautiful femininity in emotionally presented is so beguiling to husbands, and when righteously used, that's what she about faces in reversing her curse in the Song of Solomon. And that concludes this section. Thanks everyone for being here.